Presented by the Treaty One Development Corporation, this is the Treaty One Nation podcast. You're listening to Episode 8, Nawe Odina. On this episode, Elder Dave Kershane from Sagging First Nation here in Treaty One joins us to share about the naming ceremony that he had held for the former Kapyung Barracks, now known as Nawe Odina. Buju Tansi, Buju Anin. My name is Taylor. Ojoa Mushkade Bijike Indigeni Kazgi Gudon Demanishinabe Aki. My spirit name is Brown Buffalo. I'm from Broken Head Ojibwe Nation in Treaty One Territory. Very proud Treaty One resident right here. I would like to begin by saying that this is a very special episode to me. I had a lot of fun writing it and producing it and speaking with Elder Dave Kershane Jr. out in Sagging about this big naming ceremony that took place for the former Kapyung Barracks, which is how this podcast all started in the first place. And now that area now has a traditional Anishinaabe name, which we will discuss, and you'll hear from Dave about the importance of these ceremonies, what the name means, and how he went about going and presenting this name to the chiefs of Treaty One, as well as everybody out at Treaty One Development Corporation. So where I'd like to begin, before we get into all of these further details and our interview with Dave and talking about the former Kapyung Barracks, I would first just like to take a minute to discuss the importance of a naming ceremony. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our history as Indigenous peoples, where our naming traditions and ceremonies came from, and how we overcame these, how we conquered over, how we came back to these cultures, how we came back to these ceremonies and traditions after the Canadian government tried to assimilate us into a more white society. So the Indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, we are much more diverse than you might think. It is very important to keep in mind that each community, each nation, each clan has customs that are specific to it. Most Indigenous communities do have naming ceremonies, but each has its own practice that is different in terms of when and how the ceremony happens. So for example, you have to be a particular age or a particular season, or you have to be joined with very particular people. So they're all different, but the significance of the ceremony itself is embedded in each individual nation or community. Names, traditional names, are also at the forefront of our identity as a peoples, and a name reflects the purpose and significance of a person, place, or thing. So for example, I carry two traditional spirit names. One is Ojoa Mashkode Bijike, which is Brown Buffalo, and the other is Akundamu Ekwe, which is Lily Pad Root Woman. And both of these names have very deep-rooted significance to me and to my spirit. And that's what makes me unique and different and an individual from all my other relatives. I'm still in the process of learning what the meaning and the purpose of my names are, although one of them is a little easier than the other. Brown Buffalo is a very strong and powerful name that I'll probably be searching for the meaning for it for the rest of my life. So our traditional names are very significant to Indigenous peoples and our identity. When the naming ceremony begins, what happens first is that sema, which is tobacco, is passed to the person or the elder or the knowledge keeper who is performing the ceremony. Then the name is presented to the grandfather and grandmother spirits, Nukumis, Mishimis, or ancestors in the four directions, calling them into the lodge to help determine the suitable name for whatever or whomever the ceremony is taking place for. Back, history has told us, or we know from colonization, assimilation, that the elimination of Indigenous names and languages began in the 1870s. Now, considering the fact that Treaty 1 was signed only in 1871. It just puts into perspective that these traditions and practices were stolen from us not even that long ago. One of the tasks of the Indian agents was to record the names and identities of the people under their charge. Like said earlier, since assimilation was the government's ultimate goal to eliminate the Indian in us, for obviously they had lack of better words, but these names were often, our traditional names were often written down incorrectly, either through neglect or even by the design of the Indian agents. These agents sometimes substituted biblical names, their own names, their own family names. And then later in our history, Indigenous children who retained their traditional names were also forbidden from speaking them in residential schools or referring to others by their traditional names in residential schools. So now here we are performing these naming ceremonies all over again. And what this shows and what this tells me is that we are returning to these lost traditions and ceremonies. And it is important that these acts of reclamation or reconciliation of truth, of culture, of identity, that these names and these naming ceremonies are only one of many of the first steps that we can move towards to reconciliation with Canada, within Canada and all of our nations. Now, at the request of the Treaty One Governing Council, Chief Derek Henderson from Saugeen First Nation, he passed Sacred Sema to Knowledge Keeper Dave Crescane Jr. in request of a traditional name for the former Kapyong Barracks. As per our customs, Elder Crescane accepted the Sema and conducted a name-giving ceremony, which was held on April 14th, 2021 at the Turtle Lodge in Saugeen First Nation. Nawe Odina from our Anishinaabe language for Center of the Heart and Community signifies the land's important and historic location at the center of Turtle Island, North America. But please don't just take my word for it on the importance behind this name and what it signifies. But please sit back and listen to Dave speak about the name and the ceremony he held for this monumental moment in our Canadian history.
Bonjour, Anin. The name I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the name of the Canadian history. I would also like to, to give an acknowledgement to, to the land and to, to the territories that we live in. I wish to offer respect to the original nations whose territory we live and work within, and I acknowledge the ancestors who have loved the land through ceremonial conduct and prayers. I acknowledge the free and independent existence of the original nations and peoples, extending back to the beginning of time through our oral histories and our oral traditions. I think it's very important that, our existence here in our land that we've been here for tens of thousands of years. We've been a people that have evolved as a people with an understanding and a knowledge of our relationship that we, when the chiefs of Treaty One offered tobacco and asked if I would do a ceremony to seek a name for, the community that's going to be developed within the city of Winnipeg. Whenever tobacco is offered, it's a very sacred symbol that has to be accepted with humbleness, because as the tobacco is offered, it puts us in the position for those that are being asked, to put ourselves in a position to really humble ourselves to a higher realm of spirit. Because as a people, we've always believed that within the spiritual realm exists a higher intelligence, and that has always been the way of our ancestors, that we live with this belief and understanding of the existence of spirit. I accepted tobacco with that spirit of humbleness and, of course, you know, asking the spirit that I do justice to the gift of that tobacco that was offered, because the name would have to come from the influence of the spirit itself that would give me, you know, the name that should be bestowed upon, you know, the community that's being developed. When we go into ceremony as a people, it is always in this understanding that we never overstep what we regard as the beginning. And the beginning is always about the spirit, that we turn to the spirit for guidance. We turn to the spirit for something that hopefully would offer us a direction or a guide in the way we needed to move forward. And in the gifts that were used in the ceremony were gifts that were given to our people, that our people had lived with, you know, for tens of thousands of years, that helped to create a faith in our people, that relationship that we, you know, that we have with the spirit. And central to the ceremony was the sacred fire, which was lit, you know, during the time of the ceremony. And central to the ceremony was the drum of our people, in which the sacred songs are sung by the singers to invoke the spirit to come within our presence. You know, as the pipe is lifted, the pipe has the power, you know, to be able to invoke that spirit to come within our presence, so we would be, the answer or the questions would be answered that we would ask from the spirit. We also had the grandmothers in the ceremony to lift the water, which is a duty and an obligation of the women of our nations, to be able to spiritualize the water and to bring forward that sacred understanding of that element of life that we call water. And it's being talked about more and more in our lodges and even beyond our lodges, that this element of life, of water, is being threatened, that even, you know, in the near future, people are going to use it as a weapon of war for people that do not have the water and will be seeking water. So it is an element that, you know, that our people are called upon, you know, to always have acknowledgement to the spirit of the water. Here in this area that I live, you know, we're very close to one of the biggest lakes in, you know, in this continent, Lake Winnipeg. And I've seen the grandmothers, you know, perform their ceremonies of gratitude to acknowledge the spirit of the water. And it's all part of helping the spirit to cleanse that water, because it's the spirit of the Thunderbirds that will really be the ones that are going to really bring a cleansing to that water that come from the sky with the rain that falls. So we had all these people in place when the ceremony was conducted. It wasn't only about myself, you know, be called upon to do the important request that was asked by the chiefs of Treaty One. And of course, personally, I felt humbled. I felt a real honor to be able to be asked to, you know, to do the ceremony. Once the leaders got into the lodge and all the proper protocols were followed, to the smudging that took place, you know, to purify the air so that the spirit that would be called upon, you know, would enter, you know, that the place would be clean spiritually. And we had asked that people, you know, help with the prayer, you know, as we lifted the pipe, that the chiefs were asked to, you know, to make an offering into the fire within the ceremony that it saw, that they would also call upon the spirit, you know, to help guide the one that was asked to do the ceremony. So they were all a part of the ceremony, everyone that was in the lodge was a part of the ceremony, you know, to make offering for the request that was made. So that the ceremony, you know, started, and you know, then I asked the spirit to guide me and to influence me as to what name should be given to this place that's being created in Winnipeg. You know, the way that the spirit works, it works in a way that you know, you're able to receive the name that is being passed from the spirit world into our world. I was influenced, you know, through that spirit that the name came forward. Of course, the name that came forward was Nawai Wotena. And then I asked, you know, what does that mean? You know, for the spirit to help translate that, you know, what does the name mean that was being passed, you know, by the grandfathers? Nawai Wotena. And they said that, you know, there was so much significance to the name that we could never do justice to translate it in an English way as to the fullness of the meaning of the name that was being given that day, the name of place that was being created. Nawai Wotena. And to try to put some understanding to the, you know, to the name Nawai, first of all, it, you know, Nawai means in the center. Nawai is in, you know, in the middle, or it's in the center. Here in this province of Manitoba, our people have always considered that geographically we sit at the center of the continent of Turtle Island. And even within a close distance of the site that's going to be developed, we have our most sacred site that we call Manitoba, where the Creator sat. And this is where the ancestors had created for us of this time, you know, as we recover, you know, from the darkness that was brought into our world to deny us to live any part of our identity that, you know, the ancestors knew that this darkness was going to come over our land. But they created a place where our ancestors, you know, ensured that that memory of our creation, the memory of our identity would never leave. That those that would make their way to the sacred site, is that it would help them to reactivate their own spirit of memory of who they are and where they have come from. And it's only been recent that some of our people have made that journey into that sacred site, you know, to go and reactivate or recover from, you know, from the genocide that we've had to endure as a people. Our people, you know, when they say Nawai, it's in reference also to the connection of the sacred site, that whatever we create, you know, outside of the sacred site, that it reflects, you know, the knowledge and the values of our ancestors, of how we should live our individual lives, how we should create a strong family, and certainly how to create a strong community. So it's that understanding of Nawai, of the connection, you know, to the sacred site of our people. And it is at the sacred site, it is said in orally in the lodges of our people, that it was a place that they called also Pagunegijik, an entrance of our spirit into this physical world, is where we have entered from and landed within the sacred site of Pagunegijik. So there's a lot to be shared, a lot to be said about that sacred site, and I will not have the time to be able to share other than the significance of the connection of the sacred site with the proposed community that's going to be developed and created in Winnipeg. And when we talk about Wotena, Wotena is in reference to the heart. You know, that whatever we create, that it's built, motivated by the heart. And that the community, you know, that it's going to be created, it be guided by the heart of the people. And being guided by the heart means that we continue to reflect being a spiritual people, that we are not to to allow ourselves to get into any confrontation, you know, with any of our brothers and sisters that have arrived on our homeland, even though we may not agree with the things that they do. And it is said, you know, within the teachings of our lodges, we have a duty and responsibility as a people and an ancient people that have a knowledge and understanding of spirit and the land, that it is our duty to teach our brothers and sisters that have arrived on our homeland why we love the land so much and why that spirit is absolutely necessary in living a good life. So Ote and I, these are, you know, like a community, you know, that's established from the spirit and from the heart. Whenever we go into ceremony, it's very hard to try to translate or transfer the feelings that you go through when you put yourself in the position of going to the spirit. It's very hard to explain and find words, the feeling that you have when you feel the presence of the spirit come near you. It's very hard. All you feel and all you can really say, you feel a sense of peace. And you feel a sense of love. You feel a sense of what we know and acknowledge today is the spiritual realm of higher intelligence is really all about the energy of love itself. The name was shared with the leaders that were present in the ceremony. It was shared that they also should think about setting up a group of elders that would act as guidance, you know, of the community that is being established, that their role would not be a political one, but rather a role of guidance in the ancestral way that the elders are acknowledged of guiding the people and the leaders spiritually. And they said it should be elders, you know, that can speak the language, that know the ceremonies, and that know and have a good understanding of the ancestral way of life of our people, should be positioned, you know, within the whole development of, you know, the community that is being created and developed. They also said within the ceremony that within the community that there's a responsibility of the leadership to create some kind of place within the community to give identity to who we are as a people. You know, the footprint that our ancestors have left us. There is a footprint that they uncovered during the construction of the Canadian Museum of Human Rights that is at that site. And this community should define what that footprint is, that there was a people that had walked upon this land for many, many thousands of years, living a way of life that can help the world come to understand, you know, that if we're going to survive as humanity, then we must be able to turn to spirit and humble ourselves to be guided in that way through our dreams and through our visions and through, you know, what the spirit can offer from that realm. And this community is being given an opportunity to highlight the real identity of who the original people are. When I made reference to the land acknowledgement, you know, it was in acknowledging the original people, you know, that have been here for tens of thousands of years. So it's important that we continue to acknowledge our ancestors from whichever territory that we have to come, or wherever we come from, that there's a full acknowledgement of our ancestors. But something can be created within the community of Maui, Utena, to define who we are as a people, to really define, you know, our history as a people. Our history did not start when our brothers and sisters from the other parts of the world arrived on our homeland. I see a lot of potential and a lot of opportunity here. You know, if the leaders will accept the direction I was given in ceremony. Because whenever tobacco is offered, we're still given the gift of free choice to accept or to deny what has been shared through ceremony. It's up to the leaders, you know, at this point to, you know, to accept the direction and follow the guidance that was given from the ceremony. We cannot force anybody, you know, to follow anything. All we can do is pass, you know, the knowledge that is being given to us by the grandfathers and accept to the people if they choose to follow it or not. So it is in that spirit that I shared that with the leaders. So I hope that, you know, I've given some understanding, you know, of the significance of Nawi Utena. You know, that's it's a sacred name. And the community is supposed to develop from that, in that sacredness, that you want to create a community that shows and reflects an understanding of peace, brotherhood, and to bring forward, you know, what the original people really are, a giving people and a sharing people. That here within the midst of the community of Winnipeg, you know, there's a community emerging, you know, that can really bring forward a spiritual understanding and to spiritualize the whole city itself, that we need to work together. We need to get rid of this attitude of domination and subjugation that we continue to face as a people. Within the human family, we're all equal in the eyes of our great Creator. And prophecy had foretold that a movement would happen, that our people would be invited into the forefront of a movement to help lead humanity, you know, to a place that there can be peace. And that opportunity is here also for those leaders that are outside of the circle of Nawai Utena to call upon, you know, the original people that have the knowledge to help find resolve to many challenges that we face in today's world. Indigenous people are a people of the heart. And it was prophesied that it would be the people of the heart that would change the world. So that's what this whole site is about. You know, when we talk about Otena, you know, it's about being led by the spirit of the heart. And I hope that that spirit will carry on, you know, as the name is shared, you know, and how it came to be and why it was important to be able to live the spirit of the name that was given in ceremony, that people that would be a part of that community would be a people of the heart, and that the people of the heart would live their sacred duties and responsibilities of the original instructions that we were given on how to be a good human being, how to be a kind, caring human being, and always to reflect kindness, as the grandmothers have shared with us in our lodges. Kindness is the way to live. And I hope that that community will be able to reflect that spirit, because to me, it's all about spirit. And I hope that as long as the people acknowledge the site that had been named by the spirit itself, that they would continue to acknowledge that spirit and those ancestors that were a part of the ceremony, that were called to, you know, to continue to recover, you know, from the genocide that and the marginalization we continue to live, that we need to find our way forward, not in conflict, but in peace. And to take advantage of all the guidance and direction that the spirit of our ancestors are willing to offer. I'm convinced that the ceremony drew our ancestors into the ceremony that have been watching, you know, the challenges that we face today. And the ones that are most affected by so much of the challenges are the children. And the people were reminded, and the leaders again were reminded, to center the children to everything that we do as leaders, that all the rights of the children that they're born with are protected, that every child was born with the right to have a place to be, a place where they can be loved and taken care of by their families, their parents, and extended families, and by the nation. So we have a lot to do as a people to recover, you know, from this dependency that's also been created in our communities. We've got to break away from that dependency and reach that level of independence again, where we exercise our right to be who we are, you know, as a people, and to be able to, again, have faith in a way of life that is filled with ceremony that can help us to recover. So thank you for giving me this opportunity.
I'd like to say chi-mi-gwech to Dave for taking the time out of his very, very busy day to speak with us. This is the end of episode 8, Nawe Odena, of the Treaty One Nation podcast. If you would like more information and updates regarding the project, you can always visit Treaty One, number one, treatyone.ca. Once again, that website is treatyone.ca. We'd also like to thank Dave for joining us once again, to T1DC for sponsoring the Treaty One Nation podcast, to UMFM 101.5 for hosting, and of course to you, all of my beautiful relatives, distant and close relatives, for tuning into the Treaty One Nation podcast.